Joe, with Derry in action in Europe this evening, I suppose it provides a wee bit of a natural break in the league for Tiernan Lynch and co, maybe a much needed break. Another really disappointing result last week, getting beat at home by Waterford, and it really seems to be one step forward, two steps back for Derry City these days.
Last Friday night was really disappointing, to think that they were 3-0 down against Waterford in the Brandywell, and that was a real disappointment for Derry and all their fans. And to think that there was talks earlier in the day about them looking to sign Lonergan from Waterford, and he's ended up with a hat-trick, so it was a bitterly disappointing. And, you know, them just returning to the Brandywell as well, you thought that would give them real impetus to be coming back, and it's looking so well in the Brandywell. So look at delighted to be heading off to Sofia tonight, and that they'll be looking to try and get a hugely positive result there, because when they come back from Sofia, then their next game again is a European match against Sofia, then followed by the FAI Cup match. So it'll be a couple of games before they face off against St Patrick's Athletic away, and then Sligo at home. So look, it is a welcome distraction, and games that Derry will be looking to try and turn what has been a very, very poor season into a little bit more positivity.
So no league match for Derry this week. League leader Shamrock Rovers also aren't playing. They lost 2-0 to Maltese side Floriana on Tuesday in Champions League qualifying. Joe, that was a really poor result over there for the best team in Ireland as well.
Oh, I was really disappointed. I had been listening to Stephen Bradley in the warm-up and all the positivity around Kiko Lopez and, you know, how well Shamrock Rovers has been playing. I didn't expect that. I was just following bits and pieces online where Shamrock Rovers started well but then ended up getting beat 2-0. So it's going to be a big week for them to get things turned around and get ready to try and reverse that result next week in Dublin.
So with the likes of Derry, Bowes, Shamrock Rovers, they're all in action in Europe this week. Suppose it gives the likes of St Pat's and Dundalk the opportunity to put a bit of a squeeze on at the top of the Premier Division.
Yeah, like, could Waterford will be on a real high as they take St Patrick's down to Waterford this week, and Dundalk have the Louth derby. So, you know, that will be a ding-dong battle. Neither of the two of them would be guaranteed a positive result for Dundalk or St Pat's. So, you know, it's going to be a difficult Friday night for both of those teams. But if they are serious about challenging Shamrock Rovers, then nothing less than 3 points will be required.
St Pat's are away to Waterford, as you say, and a win would see them go into second spot. How do you see that game going, considering Waterford have really, really made a good fist of it since the new manager came in?
Yeah, Waterford have just flipped everything on their head over the last couple of weeks, and they've been playing much better, and, you know, they've tightened up a little bit at the back, although they did concede two late goals against Derry. So, you know, going down to Waterford, there'll be a huge bounce from that result last week, and I would expect St Pat's to struggle, but I would expect Pat's to come through, because they have been in a really, really good vein of form over the last couple of weeks, and, you know, to get a chance to leapfrog Bohemians is never more important for Pats fans than to try and get closer to Shamrock Rovers, and this weekend offers them a perfect opportunity to do that.
Yeah, and as you said, the other Premier Division game tomorrow night, the Louth derby, Dundalk against Drogheda at Oriel Park. It has a bit of a ring to it, and they're always intense game in the Louth derby, Joe.
Yeah, they've been really, really good games over the last couple of years when they've been playing each other in the Premier Division. I expect nothing else. I do expect that Drogheda will come and throw everything that they have at Dundalk. But again, Dundalk has been in really, really good form. I know that they've lost Owen Kenny to Portsmouth in the last couple of days as well, but I do expect that Dundalk at home should have enough. And then on Saturday night, you've got Galway, who'll take on Sligo Rovers in the local derby there. And, you know, that's a big game for both teams as well, as Sligo have slipped, unfortunately, to the bottom of the league, and Galway have dropped down as well, and, you know, neither of the two teams can afford a defeat. So I'd be looking at that one possibly being a draw.
Yeah, so let's move on to the First Division. Finn Harps, another home game this week after picking up a much needed 3 points against Wexford last week. A great result, but what did you make of the performance overall, Joe?
At times, Harps were really, really good. At times, they were under pressure, and, you know, you would have thought they were going to concede. You know, there was a couple of passages of play where, in the space of a couple of minutes, you could have seen them conceding maybe 2-3 goals. But Joel Bradley Walsh and Conor Tourish were excellent the last night, where the two of them defended really, really well, and they kept plugging away, and they stayed in the game, which for me was something that was really important. coming off a string of really, really, really poor results. And in Montero's goal was a really, really good goal. I thought he'd come on, done very little, and then pulled a wonder goal out of the bag. And, you know, 2 weeks in a row that he's got two goals, and you'd be expecting him to start now on Friday night when they take on Treaty at home. And they can ill afford now to end up getting anything but a win now against Treaty, because if Treaty beat them, then they will manage to leapfrog them. And, you know, so far this season, in the two matches we played them, all we've picked up of Treaty is 1 point. So we need to be getting the 3 points on Friday night when we take on Treaty in Balbuffet.
Even though there will be confidence from getting that one last week, as you said, a defeat tomorrow would see Harps drop to the bottom of the table. Does that maybe add a wee bit of pressure coming into tomorrow night's game, because they really, really do not want to drop to that bottom spot?
No, they don't. But again, I think the confidence that they can take from Friday night, where at times Wexford were really, really good. They moved the ball well. They were very fluid in their attack. And it was a case on Friday night, whoever got that first goal was going to go on and win the game, because you didn't see the other team managing to rally to score two. And that's how it proved, because when Harps got the goal, you could just see the levels in the Wexford team dropping. And, you know, that level of confidence that Harps will get from that 3 points should, for me, see them in a good position where they will go on and hopefully get all 3 points against Treaty. But it's not going to be easy, because, you know, in the two previous games they got turned over down in Limerick, and they managed a 2-2 draw in the 94th minute with that wonder goal from Conor Tourish. And again, I think this week himself and Joel Bradley Walsh in the back four will need to make sure that they defend really, really well. But I do think Harps need to sharpen up an attack and be a little bit more penetrating and a little bit more dangerous and a bit of guile in their attack as well this week, because at times last week it just didn't work until Montero came on and pulled that wonder goal out of the bag.
Yeah, so hopefully another Harps win tomorrow night. We'll have updates from the game with Jeremy Doherty from the 7:45 kickoff at Finn Park. Elsewhere in the division, runaway league leaders Cork City are at home to Longford. UCD make the short trip south to play Bray, Athlone host Cove, and it is Wexford against Kerry. Joe, last week the news broke on the potential investor coming in at Finn Harps, ex-Philippines international Freddy Gonzalez. He's not even in the club, and he seems to be, you know, a household name in the circles these days. That meeting was due to take place last weekend, but it has been kicked down the road until the 19th of this month. That's next Sunday. What are your thoughts on what that might mean for the club if it does go through?
Oh, I think it'd be a brilliant initiative for the club that if they could get this on board. It looks like they've done a lot of work to get it this far, and, you know, they've put in a huge amount of efforts behind the scenes. Disappointed that the meeting didn't take place last Sunday. Now it's going to take place on the day of the World Cup final, and, you know, this could be Finn Harps World Cup. When you look at sums of money that's looking to be invested in the stadium and looking at some of the other bits and pieces that the club owe in relation to creditors as well, if they were to clear that and to get the stadium project up and running, it would be a hugely, hugely positive initiative for the club. So from my point of view, I think it's really, really good news, and I think the club deserve great credit for getting it this far. But now the hard work takes centre stage in trying to get it across the line and get Freddie on board. And, you know, I think we could have a new hero in Balbuffet if Freddie was to come in with all his money and to, you know, give the club a bit of energy and a bit of a lift going forward. And when you look around football throughout Europe, every club needs a Freddie that can come in and provide that funding, because, you know, the cost of everything at the minute, of keeping a team on the road and keeping facilities right, it does cost a lot of money. And I do think that the people of Donegal would back such a takeover, and hopefully at the meeting on the 19th that'll be the way that it'll turn out.
Yeah, very interesting times at Balbuffet for sure, Joe. So we'll see how that all pans out. As you say, that meeting now taking place next Sunday, the 19th of July at 4 o'clock. And Harps did say that is to let people be home in time for the World Cup final. Just a word on the World Cup before you go, Joe. Things really heated up this week, and we're down to the last eight. France, Morocco, Spain, Belgium on one side of the draw. England, Norway, Argentina and Switzerland on the other. It's been a really entertaining World Cup so far, and very eventful to say the least.
It's been brilliant. You know, how many of the matches have gone down to the last couple of minutes where there've been big goals and big performances? No, none more so than Argentina against Egypt the last night. But you know, with a couple of minutes to go, you were thinking, "Was this the last we'll see of Messi in an Argentina shirt?" And people were reveling about Mo Salah, and all of a sudden the game got turned on his head. But you know, throughout, if you look at the England against Mexico the last night, I was sure that England would have found it really, really difficult, like they did. But what a second half performance from England, with you know, where they put defending back in centre stage in the World Cup, where they really defended well. They defended their goal with blocks and tackles, and you know, no small bit of organisation that seen them come through with 10 men. So it has been really, really eventful. But I really am looking forward to the quarterfinals and semi-finals, because we've got some mouth-watering matches, and particularly tonight, France against Morocco. And you know, France have been flying, but I just got a sneaky feeling that Morocco may have their number, and could cause them some problems tonight. I don't expect Belgium now to be able to put Spain out. Spain have been really, really impressive. And when you look there at Norway against England, when you've got Haaland in your team, then you've always got a chance. And as well as England did against Mexico, you know, it'd be terrible for England to get undone by Norway. So that's a really intriguing tie. And you know, after the Argentina, when they take on Switzerland, will they have the same gas in the tank where they can go again and you know, come through against Switzerland? But I do expect Argentina to come through against Switzerland there. So it's going to be an interesting just over a week now to the end of the World Cup.
And if I could just finally put you on the spot, Joe, out of those eight teams, who are your world champions?
Oh, I think I'm going to go for Argentina.
All right, right, very good. They've kind of been they've been slipping through, but you reckon they'll get the job done, two in a row?
Yeah, it just looks like there's no way they should have got through against Mexico. And when
Egypt,
you've got
yeah.
Messi and his team, yeah, then you know what do you call him? When you see him coming through against. Coming through the way he did to lead the team and to be centre stage in the team, then you know his name could be on it again.
Good stuff, Joe. Thanks very much for joining us. As always, take care, enjoy the rest of the World Cup, and we'll chat again soon, okay?
Thanks, Mark. Have a good evening.